For God is my record or my witness. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I said, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Just so that we would have something to think about as we go along in the text and in the message, consider this: it gets better and better. It gets better and better. We have been taught and told, instructed and commanded by God that we are to love those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. We have been given the mandate without excuse or exception. Let me just throw in this little caveat that, however, even though we have been given that mandate, you can trust somebody. You can love somebody, but not trust them. Somebody just got a way out. We just want to mention that because love, again, has its particularities and so often used and sometimes misused and even abused, that it's also always mindful that you make sure that you recognize you know it when you see it. Are you with me here? We know we went over 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but Paul, he gives another context here in terms of the book of Philippians, a letter to the church of Philippi. And it's, again, good to remember this, that when you read these texts, it's no problem, you say the books, but the familiarity and the sensitivity and the embedded sincerity of these letters, a lot of times are given because you think of them in that manner. They are letters. Are called epistles, from Romans all the way to Jude, and Revelation is a letter, so to speak, but it's also a book of prophecy. So you keep that in mind because these letters that were written, in this case, the Apostle Paul, these are personal letters. Again, if you read the historical parts of the letters and read them from front to back, and you leave off, again, any part of it, you'll miss a lot about what Christianity is all about. A lot of his greetings and his salutations and even the things he speaks about at the end, they are personal in things that he says to those who serve with him in the ministry. Amen. He speaks to them and he greets them. And then at the end, he talks to them, you know, and say hi to so-and-so. I'm using a colloquial term and a more contemporary way, but in a sense, he's doing that. He's saying, say hi to so-and-so and greet Wichacom, you know, and greet Justice and tell Wichacom I'm thinking about. Because when it comes to ministry, sometimes we are so, we are so ministry-oriented that if we get, we work with people. And not only that, but this other part here, and I wanted to reserve it for a little bit till I get more into the text, but you can minister to people and not like them. Yeah, I'm waiting for that to sift in here. Hey, amen. If you ain't like what I said, I got this birthday card, so I know so I got some friends. Most of all, I got a birthday present from God and Sister Henley, so I ain't worried about it. Yeah. But Paul, he writes this letter, saints, and this is one of the most endearing epistles that he's written. Romans is deep, you know, it's theologically adept. It's the doctrine and the teachings are off the charts. And again, he does do that the same in Romans. That's another particular one. He does those things, but and he does it for all the epistles, but not more than others, but because of the context. Because in this letter he's writing where he's in prison, his liberty has been taken from him for a while. This is one called the prison epistles. And in this letter, Paul has written back to the church at Philippi that he founded, that he planted this church. And there was an ongoing reciprocal relationship with them that involved their innate desire to want to always make sure Paul had what he needed. Are you following me? They weren't just being opportunistic. You know, they weren't want to be someone they wanted Paul to write their name on. You know, they didn't know they were going to be in a letter that we'd be going over right now. That's not why they did it. They did it because, watch now, they love the Lord, they love Paul, and they love the gospel. Amen. And that's what it is. That's where this speaks to us. It speaks about their relationship in the fellowship of the gospel. Amen. Are y'all following me here? Because there is something, even though we are all part of all different walks of life as believers, we come from different places, we have different incomes, we have different families, but one thing we ought to keep in mind, we are all in the fellowship of the gospel. Amen. And the gospel is not just one aspect of it, it's not just mission, not just ministry, it's inclusive too in terms of how we as believers in Christ see, serve, and search one another, and keep in mind again that we have been put together by the Lord Jesus so that we can exemplify him into a dying world. But nonetheless, that is, however, why Paul wrote this letter to. He wanted to write to the church of Philippi because they were so eager to support him that they wanted to make sure that whatever it is that he needed, they would seek to try to supply it. And so as he writes this letter, and again, you hear saints again about the aspect of joy and rejoicing. When we hear this letter to the church of Philippi or Philippians, we always, you know, default to the fact that talking about joy, but it's more than that. He talks about the unity of the faith. Yes, sir. Are y'all following me? Yes, sir. And you should think about this, that he talks about these two things, the unity of the faith, but he also talks about rejoicing. And you need to have both going for you. Amen. Because the unity of the faith speaks of this, that we all should be believing the same thing. And as we join together in the same thing with the proper motive in it, then we would be rejoicing. That's right. We would be rejoicing. It does not just mean when you're in a hard place, when you're having a hard time. But let me tell you, when you ain't having difficulty, when you're not having a bad day, when you're not having things ain't going right, you still should rejoice. You don't have to wait for God to deliver you to praise him. You ought to bless him because of who he is. So as Paul writes this letter, and again, if you have read anything, whether particularly scripturally and also biographically in any writings about him, you would know that Paul, you know, he don't play. No, he don't play. No, he don't. You know, if he was in some of these churches, well, he'd be telling folks off with the Bible all the time. Oh, yes, he would. Paul don't play. He ain't got time for foolishness. You know, no, he's about the gospel. But that being said, Paul had a big heart. Amen. Are y'all following me? He had a big heart. That's why I said, when you read his letter, this man, he prayed for all the churches. Amen. And I still don't know how he did it. But it's in it, and he does not talk facetiously. I mean, he don't just say, I'm gonna pray for you. You know, sometimes we say that, you know. We don't get around to it. And sometimes we just saying it because somebody said it to us. You know, ain't that right? I'm gonna pray for you. If God was counting them things up, we would be bankrupt. Amen. But he means it. He meant it and he did it. He prayed for all of these folks. all that he had to do. Usually when you hear him talk about all the work that he's done, he speaks about, he's not bragging, he's not boasting. He was just saying that one time he did it to let the church know, some of the believers know about those false teachers who are trying to get you to follow them as if they were some people of means, you know, how people try to splatter against all this kind of, to try to make you think that they all this and all that and a bag of chips and all that. And then by virtue of that, they want to, but Paul said, listen, if you want to go to that, let me tell you my resume. I'll tell you how it was in the past, but when I met Jesus, I count that but dumb. And then since I've been saved, I've been shipwrecked, I told you before. All this stuff that happened to me, but I don't go around bragging about it. I just say it so you would understand that I went through some things that they couldn't even remember to think about. And yet, I don't go around patting myself on the back. Paul said he spent his time praying for those who are in the faith. And so in this letter, let me just go through it, just a few moments of it, and as we land again with our text. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. And this is not my place here where I'm going to go over this, but let's just look at the magnitude of what he's saying here. Always, in every prayer, make requests with joy for all of y'all. I need to get on my knees and repent for praying halfway for some of y'all, some of the time. This man here does all that he's doing, and he finds time. And let me just say this to you. Even if Paul had a TV, even if he had an iPad, even if he could go to the movies, he wouldn't be there because he would be praying for you. So it's not about that he's in a prehistoric time and a time of antiquity. He didn't have all the same things to distract. It ain't about that. You can make time for what you want to make time for. He says, I do this, I pray for this. Listen to me now. He says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul says, from the first time I met y'all, when this church was planted, when God used and the Spirit of God brought the gospel to Philippi in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, when he said, on the first day that church was planted and the saints collaborated and got together and this community of believers began, Paul said, from that first day, my love for y'all has grown. You know, it wasn't as just because, you know, because sometimes things would happen is in evangelicalism and in evangelism, we you know, we witness to people, we lead them to Christ, but then we leave them alone. That's one of the indictments in terms of some of the evangelism is that people, we tell them how much Jesus loves them, but they don't know if he still do or not, because when you're gone, you ain't got nothing more to say to them about Jesus. But you understand what I'm saying? The relationship, now you can't follow everybody, but you need to follow up with somebody. And they need to know that you care about them, whether they do anything for you or not. Witness to somebody is not based on how much they have or their political affiliation. It's based on the fact that they're lost and Jesus died and rose again. Their worth or worthiness is not based on anything else but that God so loved the world. And that's enough for you to tell them about Jesus. Paul said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he that's done a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm keep moving here, Saint, but I want to clarify here. This is not, again, one of those situations where he's talking about just individual believers. He's not just talking about individual believers. He's talking about the whole body. He's talking about the whole church here. Yeah. He that's begun a good work in you. He's not talking about, and I used to take that for myself, you know, tell other people, he that begun a good work in you. No, he's talking about the church. He that begun a good work in this church, God will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Sometimes the way I view, how we view this thing, it ain't about just individuals. It's about the church. watch it now. The Lord wants the church to look like him. Just individual people. No, not just individual people. He wants the whole. How would it be if Beulah looked like Jesus? Not a certain group over here, a certain group over there, a certain ministry over here, a certain ministry over there, but the body of people. And this is the caveat here. That how that would happen if we meet Jesus and then love each other like Jesus loved us. Yeah.